This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. As computers, tablets, and smartphones have become more integrated into our lives, writing things out by hand has become less common. But some state lawmakers want to make sure Wisconsin students are still receiving instruction on how to write, especially in cursive. Joining us to talk about the legislation and how it could impact regional schools are State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt, a Republican from Fond du Lac who is a co-author of the bill, Patty Ellsworth, Director of Curriculum and Instruction for Tolma Area School District, and Rob Tyvall, Supervisor of Academic Programs and Staff Development for the School District of La Crosse. Representative Thiesfeldt, I wonder if you can explain what this bill would specifically require of schools and of students.
Sure. What the bill would do is simply require school districts around the state, if they have K through 8, doesn't apply to high schools, that by the end of fifth grade, all of their students would be able to write cursive legibly. That's directly from the bill. So it's pretty simple. There are many districts across the state that have really never stopped doing this, but those that have stopped would have to reinstitute it. I'm not sure how long they would, maybe haven't been doing it, but probably sometime in the last 20 years, it seems schools have decided to stop teaching this skill to their students.
Yeah, and so how would these curriculum requirements be enforced?
No different than any other curriculum requirement is enforced, whether it be math or language or social studies or science. There isn't somebody from the Department of Public Instruction knocking on their door checking to see exactly what they're doing. Much of it is based on a good faith effort.
Representative Thiesfeldt, what made you want to introduce this legislation?
Well, I have a background as a teacher, and so I did not teach the younger grades, where this has largely been taught. Usually it's somewhere in second or third grade that kids are taught this, maybe a little bit later than that. If it's a Montessori school, they in fact oftentimes start out with cursive writing, even at the kindergarten level. But in my years of teaching and in discussions with other teachers that I worked with, I have heard many stories about how they believe that it was a mistake for us to scale back on cursive handwriting. And I understand the reasons why they did. There are a lot of pressures on the curriculum in schools. Cursive writing isn't something that's measured in terms of the state testing and so forth, which is how we look at schools to determine how well they're doing. And so it's one of those things that becomes an easy target, unfortunately, when things get tight in the curriculum. But I believe that this isn't just about the nostalgia of being able to read grandma's letters or sign checks or read the original document of the Declaration of Independence. While those things certainly are all important, and I think that's cultural, that it's important that we maintain some of those cultural skills, the biggest thing for me are the what we have in education is we are trying to get kids to train their minds how to work. And the process of learning cursive and writing cursive is better for young minds. It stretches their minds beyond just the simple printing and certainly beyond just tapping a keyboard. And so it creates neurological pathways in the mind that are not created by just simple printing. And it also seems to have a benefit, and studies have shown this, a benefit towards students who have dyslexic tendencies. And studies have shown that perhaps 1 in 5 of our students have some level of dyslexic tendencies. And so it has the possibility of keeping kids out of special education. So that, and among other things, is what convinced me that this was the direction we should go.
Do you know of how many schools in the state have no longer teach cursive?
No, that's a very popular question, though. I think every interview I've done, someone asks that, and we do not know. Short of calling every district in the state, and I'd be curious to hear in our conversation here what Tolma and La Crosse are doing, the Department of Public Instruction doesn't keep that information. The Wisconsin School Boards Association said that they did not know either. And so all I could give you would be anecdotal evidence of people who come to me and say, well, my school district teaches it and mine doesn't, and so forth. If I was to give a estimate, I would say it's somewhere around half.
Patty, do Tomah Area School District schools still teach cursive?
Yes, we do. We start instruction in second grade at the end, and we have classes in it for third and fourth grade students.
Has this been a conscious effort to maintain cursive instruction in your curriculum?
Yes. Several years ago, our district administrative team came together, and it was a conversation. It came up primarily with the onset of the Common Core. Part of the discussion was the need to infuse more instruction for technical use, for computers, for keyboarding, having students develop keyboarding proficiency so that they would be able to or in line to take the state assessment in the spring. So that was part of our reason to re-examine it, and at that time we did decide to keep cursive in the curriculum.
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding. There was a question of, because we have these keyboarding requirements, that maybe cursive might not have been able to be incorporated.
For us, it really came down to prioritizing what we need to cover and picking out what was most important to us. We certainly value so many things that we teach, and didn't want to see cursive necessarily go away, but we needed to find time to put in classes for technology at the elementary level, so that was new for us at third, fourth, and fifth grade.
Rob, what about La Crosse schools? Do we still have cursive instruction there?
We do. We've had cursive instruction for decades in the school district of La Crosse. In fact, we, similar to Tomah, we start our instruction in cursive at the end of second grade, and it continues through third grade.
And has that been a conscious effort among La Crosse schools to keep cursive in the curriculum?
It has. It's been something that we've worked diligently with our second and third grade teachers. We supply them with materials to help them reinforce cursive instruction with their students. And we, as Tomah has indicated, we believe that there's still value with cursive in our culture, and we want to be sure that we're presenting students with the opportunities to have those skills as they move through our educational system.
Patty, do you know of school districts in our area that have stopped cursive instruction?
I can't say that I do. It's not a conversation that has come up at meetings. We've had other emphasis on other parts of the curriculum that we need to cover, but no, I'm not aware of any that have passed on cursive instruction.
Rob, I would put the same question to you. Have you heard from any school districts that have stopped cursive instruction, and maybe why?
I actually have not. There were a few articles that I've seen over time with some districts in our state who decided to move away from cursive. In those situations, I think it has been more to do with the fact that there's a strong sense that we're moving toward the technological side of things, that communication and writing really tends to take place a lot more commonly now with that electronic interface with keyboarding. And so I do think there are issues of not necessarily just time in terms of instructional time, but what's most relevant for students who are part of a new digital age.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about a push in the state legislature to require cursive instruction in state elementary schools. We're here with Rob Tyvall from La Crosse School District, Patty Ellsworth from the Tomah Area School District, and Republican Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt from Fond du Lac. Rob, you mentioned La Crosse schools start cursive instruction towards the end of second grade. What does that instruction look like? And I wonder if it's changed over the years.
Well, the instruction in La Crosse starts with looking at uppercase or capital letters in second grade, second semester. We usually hold off on cursive instruction until that point in time because of the developmental readiness of our students. We want to be sure that they're ready to start creating those formations required in cursive. So they start in the second semester of first grade with capital letters, and then second semester of second grade. And then as they move into third grade, they work on the lowercase letters, and until we've incorporated all of those.
And once students learn how to write in cursive, how are they using that handwriting?
Well, that's an interesting question. And it's one that I've posed to a number of people in our school district and from around the area. And I think, and even as you look at the literature, the answer is going to vary quite a bit. And again, we have to come back to the topic of this conversation about being digital natives. And much of the communication and writing that our students do these days is in that electronic format. So as we look at the standards that the state has provided us, for example, coming from the Common Core, beginning in third grade and fourth grade, fifth grade, there were expectations for using keyboard and being able to produce writing to a specific degree in keyboarding in those grades. So there is that demand on students in our schools. And I think that's a positive thing because it is building up a skill set that's pretty relevant right now. It's pretty hard to detach ourselves from the importance of keyboarding skill in our society. But I would say as students move through the school system, we see some of them reverting to printing because that's what they're most comfortable with. Some of them prefer keyboarding. And I would also say that sometimes we find a combination of things. And I think a lot of adults in our cities around the state can probably relate to their own handwriting experiences and saying, do I use a script that's completely cursive, or is it some sort of amalgam? Maybe some of my letters are print, maybe some of my letters are cursive. And for some students, that's the fastest way that they can put print down on paper.
Patty, I wonder what your thoughts are on this idea of, cursive instruction maybe ending up in more of this amalgam of both printing and cursive.
Well, our experiences actually mirror exactly what Rob is saying. We see instruction happening in our elementary schools the end of second grade and connectivity letters as they get through third and fourth. And after that, the application of the skill is left up to the students, and oftentimes we see a hybrid coming out of that. Interestingly enough, the other day I was in the middle school and just wanted to do an informal survey of student work, and all of what was handed in, every student chose to print their responses. So that was comfortable for them, and they were able to get their thoughts down on paper. So the skill is being taught, but the level to which it is being applied once they get to the middle and high school level is dictated by the students. But we do have an emphasis now moving more toward technology and their ability to use that medium.
Representative Thiesfeld, I wonder, hearing from these school districts about how students who receive cursive instruction maybe end up not using it when it comes to their coursework, does that change the situation, I guess, in your eyes?
No, it doesn't really. Yeah, part of what I was hearing them say, the individuality that students start to show, that's just kind of an indication that cursive handwriting is really, it's kind of like an art. There are kids who take great pride in the fact that they have such fine script, and they should. It kind of gives an opportunity for some kids who maybe wouldn't be able to have that sort of identity to be able to develop that. No different than anything, if you don't make a point of practicing something, you're going to lose that skill as time goes on. Now, that doesn't mean that the value of it decreases, because as I said, the biggest value of this isn't necessarily how pretty you write it. It isn't necessarily the fact that you use some sort of a combination system, which I certainly do myself. I find myself using both types of print at my age, both print and cursive at my age. The key thing is the stretching the minds of these young kids and creating those neurological pathways that otherwise might not be created or might not be as strengthened as they would be by doing this process. And I know that there are teachers out there who do insist that when their students do their assignments, particularly up to a certain age level, that they insist that they do it in cursive because they want them to make sure that they maintain and strengthen those neurological pathways. It's really the same concept as why parents who make their youngest students, or excuse me, make their children take piano lessons. You're creating those pathways. You're developing that fine motor coordination, and there otherwise might not be things kids would take the time to do on their own. And so, the fact that they choose not to use it later in life, that's certainly their choice. But I don't think that that means that we should not teach this at the younger levels.
Patty, what are your thoughts on this idea that cursive, helps create these neurological pathways or improve hand-eye coordination is another kind of argument I've heard for cursive instruction?
I believe that it is an opportunity for students to build some pathways, and it's another way of communicating. They do need to concentrate and think when they're learning how to move from manuscript to cursive. There's value in that. So, and that is part of why we elected to keep it. We find value in that. But once again, once they pass a certain age and then decide to do whatever combination they do with it, we're not enforcing strict use of cursive past a certain grade level.
Yeah, Rob, what are your thoughts on this idea of cursive as beneficial for students' brains and hand-eye coordination?
Sure. I think there's been some research done about the effect of cursive and brain development, and there's some complexity to that writing pattern in cursive that probably demands a little more than we might see in some keyboarding, for example. Having said that, as we move through life and we start to measure the things that are of value to us, which is, I think, what our students do naturally, they start to make decisions about what's important for them. They start to make decisions about what kinds of skills they need to be able to communicate. And so this is why I think we start to see cursive move out of center focus, because most of the interfaces that our students have around communication or written communication are not centered on cursive anymore. Now, that's not to say that we don't value it in the school district, because I think there are applications where cursive is still pretty important, and there needs to be an awareness of how to at least read that script.
Yeah, could you speak more to those situations where cursive is important?
Sure. Let me talk about my home remodeling project. So recently we decided that we were going to have a bathroom remodel done, and we had a couple of plumbing companies come in and take a look at the bathroom. A couple of weeks later, we got two quotes. And the first quote, when I opened it up, was very nicely printed. You could tell that it had been computer generated. Someone used a keyboard very well, very cleanly, and the second one was written in cursive. So at this point in time, there's an expectation from the plumbing company that the person that they're sending that quote to will be able to read and interpret cursive and use it well. So there are places in our society, business world, and there have been many times when I've worked with different kinds of vendors, et cetera, who have used cursive in creating quotes and things like that. So there are places where cursive is still important, but I don't think that we see it as readily as we used to. I think over time, again, that communication has shifted more to the electronic platform. So it's about making an assessment, I think, of what is the degree of importance of cursive right now in this time, as opposed to maybe that measure of importance that cursive held historically.
Yeah, and to that point, I wonder if it's also, if there's a question of how important cursive will be in the future, because, you know, the students of today are not yet maybe in the situation where they're getting plumbing estimates and going to have to be reading cursive.
That's right, and I could give you a couple other examples, too. I know of at least one young person who went for a job interview and was asked to read something in cursive. And unfortunately, she could not. So there was some pretty clear relevance established then. I've heard other arguments for cursive. You know, you need to be able to sign a check. But then I've stood in line at banks or in supermarkets and watched people print their signature on a check, and it doesn't seem that the bank is throwing it out. So I think there are some of those sorts of things. We have conversations also about primary materials or primary sources, which would mean, for example, historical documents. Some of those things that might have been written using cursive, and will our children be able to access those things in their school experience? And the truth is, there may be times when those primary sources haven't been typed up somewhere, But for the most part, in many cases, they've been transcribed, and so there still is access.
Patty, what are your thoughts on, I think kind of just the end result of cursive instruction, of kind of applying that in the real world?
Well, not that I have a bathroom quote that I can reference, but absolutely there are still places where we want students to be able to read, read cursive. I don't know how frequently those come up anymore. I don't have an experience where someone has said that it kept them from a job, but I can see where that could be a possibility. We do deal in just in the curriculum and in school, we talk about the ability to read some of the Founding Fathers documents, but once again, like Rob said, those have been transcribed. So we do wrestle with how much time should be dedicated to it, or if all of it will be readily available regardless of someone's ability to read or write in cursive.
Representative Thiesfeld, I wonder, Rob brought up this idea of kids being digital natives these days, and I just wonder how you see incorporating this cursive instruction requirements. Do you feel like that'll impact schools' ability to help shape students in this time where, digital is kind of king?
No, I don't think so at all. One of the concerns we hear coming out of education now is the excessive amounts of screen time that kids are being exposed to and the negativities that come because of that. And so if we're going to start scaling some of that back, you are going to start seeing more things appear in cursive. But something I didn't mention before that I think is important here too is that there is value of this even into high school and college and adulthood. If perhaps you've seen this, there was a study done by a UCLA professor and a Princeton professor, where they had a lot of these same questions. But they had theorized that just based on their own experiences, and I would contend I've had these experiences as well, that when you write things down, you remember them better. And so what they had their college lecture class. They split the class into two parts, gave the lecture, and half the students took notes on the computer, and half did it in cursive. And they did this a couple times, and then they would test afterwards. And they found that they first looked at what the students wrote down, and they found that the students who were tapping on laptops and iPads, they tended to try to get every word down that the professor said. Because you can type faster than you can write. I think that's a fact for many people. And so they weren't really, they found that they really weren't listening as well as maybe they would have because they had the ability to perhaps keep up with the professor almost on a word-for-word basis. Then they studied what the notes were of those who were using the cursive, and they wrote a whole lot less. But it was clear that they went through a process of synthesizing their thoughts based on what they heard, putting it down on paper in a way that they could understand it. And then, as evidence of that, they tested the students on the material afterwards, and they found that those that had written in cursive did better on the tests. And so that confirmed what their feeling was, that students who write things down are readily able to recall that information later on because they've gone through that process when they know they can't keep up with everything that they're hearing. They've gone through that process in their mind as they're hearing it of putting those thoughts together in a meaningful way for themselves. And that's really kind of the first step in the learning process. And I think that we all can think of situations. What do we do during the course of our day when we want to remember something? We jot it down on a sticky note or something and put it someplace where we're going to see it and remember it. And the facts are is the fact that even if you lost that sticky note, you'd probably remember what you wrote on it just because of the fact you wrote it there. And so there's some sort of a connection between mind, your memory, and your physical action of performing that writing that helps you remember it.
Rob, this is a really interesting point. I mean, do we know that writing things down helps students remember the instruction?
I think there's research that would indicate that that's true. If you dig a little bit deeper, there's also some research that kind of calls that into question, whether there really is that strong a connection. And we know that different people have different points of view, so this is something that I think probably bears some more looking into as people make decisions about whether or not we should require cursive in our schools. I don't disagree, though, with the fact that, you know, when we were long, long ago, when I was in high school, and I think for many students still today, when they're learning keyboarding, they're asked not to pay attention necessarily to the keys, but to look at the text that they're trying to type. So there's sort of an activity where you're not necessarily comprehending what you're typing. And so I think what Representative Thiesfeld's talking about is in this type of situation, you might be a student in a lecture hall, for example, and you're listening to your professor talk and you're taking notes verbatim. And then the question is, afterward, do you remember? And that's a good question. And is it as powerful as if you were sitting in that same lecture hall taking notes by hand? And there is this thought that when you're using some sort of writing, handwriting, that you actually have to put the words down on paper and you have to think about what you're doing. And so that reinforces that idea. Now, the question that comes next is, does it matter when you write those things down, whether you are writing them in a printed form or in a cursive form? And that's where I think we have to look a little more deeply into what research would tell us.
Patty, what are your thoughts on this issue of active listening and handwriting and how cursive kind of plays into this equation?
Actually, I had done, pardon me, some checking and came up with the same findings that Rob was referring to, that yes, the act of actively engaged in writing when someone is taking notes on something is leading to better retention and better understanding and comprehension. But once again, it didn't really spell out exactly if that had to be in cursive or if printing did the same, had the same impact. But yes, I agree that there is something about the mechanical nature of just taking notes on a keyboard that doesn't lend itself to understanding it as into the same depth where you have to process and convert it into the handwritten.
Yeah, Rob.
And I do think that's one of the study skills that our students use. So many times they're taking their notes electronically, but for some of them, when they're getting ready to study for that test or the next big event, when they're actually preparing to study, they're taking different notes or summarizing their notes, and they're writing them down by hand. So there is some recognition, even with the students, that maybe it becomes a little more powerful and there's a little more retention when we actually write those words physically on a piece of paper.
Rob Tyvall from the La Crosse School District is here with us today to talk about a push in the state legislature to make cursive instruction mandatory for Wisconsin schools. Also joining us are Patty Ellsworth from the Tolma Area School District and Republican Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld from Fond du Lac. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation and hear how the legislation could impact regional school districts. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives for the past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a bill in the Wisconsin legislature that would add cursive instruction to state English standards and require students in public and private schools to be able to write legibly in cursive by the end of fifth grade. Proponents of the legislation say it will help with students' hand-eye coordination and their ability to read historic documents. But some academics wonder if the mandate will increase the regulatory burden on schools. Joining us to talk about the proposal and how it could impact schools in the Cooley region are State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld, a Republican from Fond du Lac who is a co-author of the bill, Patty Ellsworth, Director of Curriculum and Instruction for Tolma Area School District, and Rob Tyvall, Supervisor of Academic Programs and Staff Development for the School District of La Crosse. Representative Thiesfeld, when was the last time you used cursive, aside from your signature?
Probably about 3 minutes ago.
All right.
I'm jotting on a piece of paper here as we're talking. Yes, I use it extensively.
And Rob, I put the same question to you. When was the last time you wrote something in cursive aside from your signature?
Probably 3 minutes ago. Yeah, taking the same notes that the representative
right.
is.
We've got a lot of cursive users. What about you, Patty?
I consciously do it quite often, but yesterday when I was preparing, I wrote all of mine in cursive and tried not to use my hybrid version. So I was working on it.
Was that difficult for you?
It was a little difficult. I guess I've created such habits over time that I had to really think about forming all the letters, and I don't know if they're all correct, but yes, I do use it.
Representative Thiesfeld, around 24 states have implemented laws requiring cursive instruction in schools already. I wonder if there are examples that we can turn to as you look at legislation here in Wisconsin of successfully implementing those requirements.
I have not looked at the implementation that other states have done. And interestingly, I don't know why it is, but it seems every time somebody gives me a number of how many states there are that have a mandate on this, I hear a different number. So I think the one you gave me is the highest one I've heard so far.
Interesting.
But what I do know is that at one point in time, I ran across a number that said that the mandates in the states had dropped as low as 7 within the last 20 years or so. And that was when a lot of states started to take a closer look at this and decided, you know, maybe this is a little more important than we thought. Let's start putting it back in. So it's definitely on the upward trajectory here again. And I really don't think it's going to stop at the number you said. What did you say, 25? I don't think it's going to stop there. I'm hoping to make Wisconsin number 26.
So you,
as far as the implementation goes, I don't think it's a difficult transition. It's something the schools probably not too long ago had done and then dropped it. And I would guess that probably a lot of the materials that they used, textbooks and so forth, probably are still on a shelf somewhere.
Patty, what are your thoughts on if this requirement moves forward? Obviously, the Tolma Area School District's already teaching cursive. But I wonder if there is a concern that this is going to shake things up for your curriculum.
The fact that we already have it implemented or have it as part of our curriculum and have never walked away from it probably won't cause a great disruption. It may create a little more of an emphasis and the importance of making sure that we keep it in our school days. It probably will bring about some conversations with teachers, especially as we look at the middle to high school levels and student use of it, whether or not cursive or any combination thereof is being used by students or if they're primarily printing and typing. So I see conversations coming out of it. Do I see any big change in our curriculum? For us, it really probably won't bring about a big change.
Patty, I wonder if there's a concern that adding this to current academic standards could create a burden on school districts and teachers because it's one more standard, one more regulation to have to kind of abide by.
Certainly in our district, if we were not already doing cursive in grades 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, it would be something we'd need to take a long, hard look at how to put it into our very full days. We definitely try and prioritize things. Our days are very, very full, and we have a lot of content that's competing for very premium time during the school day. We're trying to fit in everything that we believe based on a prioritized list, what to commit to and make sure that they become our non-negotiables, that we make sure that we provide in the guaranteed curriculum for all students. So if we were not already using cursive handwriting instruction in our curriculum, it would create some serious meeting time to figure out how to fit it in.
Rob, what are your thoughts on how expanding academic standards to include cursive instruction, could that be a burden?
It could be a challenge. I think that as we look back sort of retrospectively at our school systems, we taught cursive for many, many years, and we taught it exclusively, and then there was this advent of these things called computers, and word processing came along. And we began to find that that was more of a demand, and we felt that that had to be taught. So my point is that that takes time. And working with with computers, working with word processing skills has, and in many cases, replaced what we've done with cursive. So there's a trade-off there, and there's a conversation to be had, I think, about what's most critical for our students going forward. So when we talk about standards, and this is often the work of our Department of Public Instruction, they're the ones that we as school districts look to for direction around what standards we should be teaching. They give us advice about how we should form our curriculum. So I think that they really should have a very powerful voice in this conversation. But when we talk about those standards and which standards we can teach, there's an old mantra that really comes out of creating curriculum, and that's about three different words. There's about, do these standards leverage themselves, and are they enduring standards, and is there readiness that comes from this? So if we talk about leveraging, if I'm teaching something, is what I'm teaching applicable to multiple areas or multiple types of content? If I'm talking about readiness, does it prepare me for the next academic level? And then there's this question about endurance. So if I'm going to teach something and take the time to teach it, then do I believe that this is an enduring skill that students need to have beyond high school?
Representative Thiesfeldt, have you had conversations with officials at the Department of Public Instruction about extending these standards?
At the Department of Public Instruction, no, I have not. I've had lots of conversations with different individuals, such as like individuals in school districts at Tomah and La Crosse, but I don't specifically remember talking about it with anybody at DPI.
Yeah, I wonder if this has been something you and, you know, fellow co-authors of this bill have been thinking about, of how to make sure this adding this standard for cursive instruction doesn't become a burden on school districts.
Well, that's where school districts like Tomah and La Crosse become important, because they have a model for how they can get all of this into the curriculum. And they started, or they continued to teach it, because they've seen value in it. And so, you know, their expertise on this is going to be important. And as I said, if it was dropped from the curriculum in some of our schools, it really was not that long ago. And I suspect there are some teachers there who probably were around at the time it was taught. And their expertise will become valuable, particularly in talking with the newer teachers who perhaps never taught cursive. And in fact, we have teachers now who never learned it when they were in school. And so we've got a generation that has passed through in some cases. And so I'm not going to say that there won't be any challenge involved with this, but you teach and you focus on what is important. And I find by far the most important thing we do in school is teaching kids how to learn. And in order to maximize the potential of a young child's brain, we need to create those neurological pathways. And this is something that is effective in doing that. And it really is rather inexpensive, truthfully.
A recent study by national nonprofit, the Rural School and Community Trust, found rural school districts in Wisconsin get less state funding per student than urban and suburban districts. In light of that finding and potential funding constraints, Representative Thiesfeldt, I wonder if it's fair to ask rural school districts to incorporate more standards.
Fair to ask rural school districts? Well, certainly. They have to apply by the same standards as everybody else does. I wouldn't want the rural school students to be have less of an education than what they have in urban areas. I don't think that, even if it was a burden, we don't want to shortchange those students.
I wonder if your bill passes, are there any plans on ways to support school districts, such as rural school districts, in being able to apply these standards?
Well, I don't know what you mean by support. Do you mean in terms of teacher training, or do you mean the cost factor? That could mean a number of different things.
All of the above. Any kinds of support, I wonder.
Well, cost factor, I really don't think it's all that expensive. The books that are used, they're largely are what are called consumables, where the kids generally write in them. There are a lot of schools that I am very familiar with who save money by not allowing the kids to actually write in the consumables. They copy off pieces of paper, such as many people who had cursive instruction can recall those lined pieces of paper with kind of the dashed lines and the straight lines, and you had to start the letter on the one line and reach it up to another and then curve around to touch the dashed line. That can just very easily be copied on a photocopy machine. In terms of the training that is required, as I said before, I'm certain there are teachers on the staff who know how to do this and perhaps not too long ago taught it, who would be readily available for the training. The textbooks themselves show you how to do it. The UW system, to my knowledge, has never had a handwriting course for their teachers. It was just assumed that that was something they were going to be able to handle without having to be trained in it. Besides that, if there is nobody in a district that could provide training for this, I'll about guarantee that they could probably find some retired teacher in the district who would love to come back and spend some time with the young teachers, showing them what the best way is to do this.
That's State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt from Fond du Lac here with us today to talk about a bill he authored to incorporate cursive instruction into state academic standards. He's joined by Patty Ellsworth from the Toma Area School District and Rob Tyvault from the La Crosse School District. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Patty, I brought up this finding of a recent study that rural school districts in Wisconsin are receiving less state funding per student than urban and suburban districts. I just wonder, given that finding, the potential that rural school districts are kind of taking on these standards with less funding, I wonder if that kind of influences your thoughts on this bill.
I don't know if that directly related just to this bill, but in what we do in general, a lot of time it's the resources. You need to look at what allocations you have and how to allocate funds to best meet your needs of your high priority areas. Representative Thiesfeldt is correct. We use a consumable resource, and it is something that we have to purchase every year for students in kindergarten through fourth grades, particularly second through fourth for cursive. So that's a recurring cost that we have. Currently, it's something that we're able to fit in our budget, but at times where we're really watching closely our dollars based on funding, we need to take a close look at everything that we provide for students and find out where we can best serve everyone using funding as wisely as possible.
Rob, I wonder if how cursive instruction impacts English language learners and maybe those with learning difficulties. Is that a potential conversation, I guess, that school districts like La Crosse will have to take on?
I think earlier in the conversation, Representative Thiesfeldt made a mention of the fact that cursive may have some positive attributes for students who have dyslexia. And I think that's one of the examples I recognize that I've heard several mentions of or seen several mentions of in the literature. So there may very well be some advantages for certain students in terms of using cursive writing. For English language learners, it depends probably quite a bit on the background that they come from. Students coming from different places of origin are going to use different types of written language. So acclimating to something like cursive could be more or less difficult depending on the native language that they're coming from. So, but there is conversation out there about the traditional types of letter systems that are used around the world, right? So even in terms of Mandarin Chinese, for example, with the complex characters and talking about the speed and the ability to do that quickly, whether or not that system will be able to sustain itself over time. So, but for some students coming from different language backgrounds, learning to write in cursive would probably be a little bit more demanding than it is for others.
Yeah, Representative Thiesfeldt, I wonder if this is an issue you guys have discussed when it comes to this legislation of how it will impact English language learners and those with learning difficulties.
Well, in terms of those who have learning difficulties, that is something that was addressed at the assembly hearing we had the other day. If there is necessary to make some sort of adjustment to the bill to exempt those who have learning disabilities. That certainly is something that I think could be written into their IEP. I think that they are exempted from some facets of their education based on what's in the IEP, but if something needed to be done with that, we certainly are willing and open to doing that. As far as English learners, we make varying adjustments for English learners in the curriculum, and I suspect that there could be some adjustments made for this as well.
Yeah, Patty, I wonder if you have ideas on how this could impact English language learners or those with learning difficulties. How do you currently handle cursive instruction with these students?
Well, it goes back to what Representative Diesfeld was mentioning, referencing the IEPs. So certainly if we have students that are identified with learning needs, it's something that's considered. Now, I can't speak specifically to how cursive is addressed, but if it would be something that is a difficulty for a student, that would be considered when they make their educational plan for them. As far as English language learners, exactly what Rob is referencing, when we have students coming from various places, that really determines how we support them. So whether cursive becomes a complicating factor for some students would be taken into consideration case by case for us.
Representative Thiesfeld, I wonder how hopeful are you that this bill is going to gain traction in the state legislature?
Well, I can confidently say that I'm in the legislature in my fifth term now. And in terms of educational legislation, this has been by far the most popular piece of it I have put forward. In terms of emails coming to my office, social media posts, it has been, I'd say 75%, probably higher than that, positive comments from people that they think this is the right direction to go. They feel that it was a mistake for us to scale this back. We had a good hearing in the assembly just a few days ago, and the Senate is going to have a hearing. Senate chairman of the Senate Education Committee, Luther Olson, is my co-author. So I'm upbeat about it. I think that we're on a good trajectory, and I would hope that with some time in 2020, we're getting close to that now, January or February, that we'll be able to get it on the floor of the legislature and pass.
Rob, is there something that you hope, several things that you hope the legislature will kind of remember as they approach this legislation? Anything that you would say to lawmakers?
Well, I think this is, if I read correctly, this is a bipartisan bill. And I think that's a positive thing. And I think that shows that people have some common concerns. And that's, I appreciate that. As in any situation, when we're talking about our public schools and what we're asking our public schools to do, we need to think about funding. And what is it going to mean for schools to be able to implement something like this? And so there's a conversation, I think, that deserves to take place about that for schools across our state. The other thing that I would suggest again is when we talk about going through this process with our representatives and talking about creating standards that our schools will be expected to implement, we do have a body of experts in Madison in our Department of Public Instruction. This is the work that they do. Standards are what they're about. Those people are in those positions because they're among the best people in the country, in the state, that we can find to do this type of work. They work collaboratively with our school districts, with other community members, representatives. So I would hope that they would have a voice in this process and helping to make an educated decision about what place cursive should play in the future of standards in the state of Wisconsin.
Patty, I'd put the same question to you. Is there something that you hope the state lawmakers take into consideration as they move forward with considering this legislation?
I think it's consideration of all that is expected of schools currently. And again, working with DPI and all stakeholders to consider whenever legislation is passed and mandates are placed on schools, that there is the understanding that we tend to keep adding expectations to the plate, and we need to realize that we are limited on resources and we're limited on time, And we really are working very hard every day, and we just want to make sure we are doing the right hard work so we best meet the needs of all of our students.
Patty Ellsworth, Director of Curriculum and Instruction for Tomah Area School District. Rob Tyvall, Supervisor of Academic Programs and Staff Development for the School District of La Crosse. And State Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt, a Republican from Fond du Lac, joined us today to talk about how a proposed requirement for cursive instruction in elementary schools could impact districts in the Cooley region. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by senior news editor and producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives and other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.